pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for coming tonight. First item on the agenda tonight is Superintendent's Report.
Yes, tonight we have our first presentation on Christmas to Soto.
Yep.
We have three presenters, Mr. Soto, Ms. Fabian, and Ms. Weintraub.
We actually have a few
youngsters, too,
yes.
I believe. So I'll leave it to you, Mr. Soto, to introduce them. But I just want to personally thank all of you, because I know you're coming out on a night that you could be doing other things. So much appreciated.
All right. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to begin by thanking the Board of Education and Superintendent of Schools for giving us the opportunity to speak this evening regarding character education and community outreach, which are two subjects that are very close and dear to our heart. And I also want to thank our students for coming out. They are going to present at some point during the evening. I also would like to take a moment to thank Mr. Lopez, who is actually a permanent sub at our high school, or just a sub, he's not permanent, excuse me, a sub at the high school, and he's a former guidance counselor, and he actually introduced the SMILES program to the high school. And I don't want to steal too much of Ms. Fabian's thunder, but I just wanted to publicly thank you, Mr. Lopez, for coming out.
Thank you.
This evening. This evening, we're going to look at two points. One, like I mentioned a moment ago, character education. The second point is community outreach. And this evening is going to stand as a testament to the support of the Board of Education, because about 4 or 5 years ago, we actually had to dissolve one of the four clinicians. And it was a very difficult decision that the Board of Education and administration actually had to make at that time, but unfortunately, we felt at the time that it was necessary. So from that point on, we have met the mandates in terms of counseling, evaluations that we have to conduct, but there was a piece missing, which is the preventative piece, which is the character education piece and the outreach work that goes into the work of a clinician. 2 years ago, the Board of Education began to develop and disseminate a staff survey, and it went to the entire staff across the district. And basically, it asked the staff to provide them with their input in terms of what's working in the district and what's not. We got a lot of feedback from our staff. Last year, one of the most popular things that a lot of the staff members mentioned as a point that needed our attention, or the Board of Education's attention, was the point of adding a clinician to the district. One of the things I believe the staff member saw is that we were not necessarily looking at the preventative piece in terms of addressing the social-emotional supports of our students. So with our recommendation, the Board of Education unanimously supported adding a clinician to our program. And what is interesting, and the reason I mention this, is that at the last board meeting, the April 5th board meeting, when we presented a budget presentation, a community member made a suggestion to the board, and the suggestion was you should, in future presentations, sort of highlight some of the incremental growth that you've added to the program that is not above the 1.5 general expenditure items as part of the budget. I thought at the time, I actually ruminated on the idea for a couple of days, and when I was looking at presenting this evening, I thought to myself, there's a piece of me that thought like, oh, we've never really done that. We don't really tout our accomplishments. We try to take a stance of like humility. I mean, we try to push forward in the sense that once we complete an accomplishment, we sort of move on. But as I began to really think about that as a concept, it's not necessarily touting our accomplishments. It's just making everyone known, or making some of the accomplishments known to the population, known to the community, and sort of highlighting some of the things that we've all done collectively in the support and growth of our students. So with that in mind, like I said a moment ago, this evening, the presentation is a testament to that, because this year we actually began to do some of the work that we were not able to do in the past, such as character education and outreach. And I believe that is all contributed to the addition of the clinician that we added this year. So this is a sort of a thank you to the Board of Education, thank you to the community for supporting our budget and for adding their permission. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to two of my colleagues, Mrs. Fabian and Mrs. Weintraub, and we do have two students that will present as well. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you guys for having us tonight. Good evening. Thank you. So what exactly is character education? This is why we're here, right? As Mr. Soto said, this is what we've been working on this year. So character education is a process that enables people in the school community to really understand and act on certain ethical values. What are some of those values? Some of those values that we want to instill in our students, our staff members, our community members: respect, responsibility, and citizenship. So those are some of the big ones that we want to try to highlight. So throughout the evening, we hope that we'll show you how we've embraced some of those values within our programs and our buildings.
So our federal and local policies both ask that we expand the concepts that are related to the development of character. In addition, the Dignity for All Student Act requires that we have preventions in place to address harassment, bullying, and any kind of behaviors that are related to that. These are focused in all of our character education programs you'll see throughout the evening. And providing such character education programs helps our students that struggle with these expected norms throughout the day. I never know anything. All right. So here, we just have a slide here that kind of highlights some of the issues that our students are struggling with daily. You guys could look over them. I'm not going to read them one by one. But many times these struggles result in like a spillover into the school community. We see the students struggling, their peers at times struggling because of a friend's issue, and their family struggling. With the support of our pupil personnel staff, that includes our guidance counselors, social workers, psychologists, the nurse at times, building administration, we try to address and support and guide these students, families, and individuals through these difficult times.
So as Mrs. Fabian said, there are a lot of things that impact the students' social emotional functioning, their peer relationships, academics, and these are some of the outcomes of that. One of them is peer conflicts. If they are dealing with all of these issues she had mentioned at home, they're carrying over into school, they're spilling over, it's hard for them to interact appropriately with peers, it's hard for them to respond to their teachers, to the authority. They have so many issues that they're carrying in with them that it's hard for them to really focus on what they are in school to do, which is to be a student and to learn, make friends, you know, play with their peers. So these are some of the things that they're really dealing with. Peer conflicts, like I said, that's a big one. They're really not prepared to learn. They might be carrying extra stress and anxiety that gets in the way of them, you know, being able to succeed within the school. Okay. So we've said a little bit about what character education is. Why is it important? So we've learned that peer conflict, low self-esteem, substance use, things like that, have a negative effect on students' mental health and social-emotional functioning. There was actually a study conducted by the American Journal on Public Health that found students who were exposed to character education programs actually exhibited less of these risk-taking behaviors. They had better peer relationships, they had better self-esteem, they were less likely to engage in violence or sexual activity. So there's research showing that, you know, students who are involved in these programs really tend to do better in school. So that was something that we wanted to try to focus on. So as a district, there's a lot of ways that we go about really trying to meet some of these needs. Some of them might be counseling groups, peer mediation at the elementary and at the high school. We have parent workshops and trainings we might have them come in for. We do trainings for staff. We might bring in a third-party agency, depending on what it is. So we have a lot of ways that, as a district, we're working to really meet some of those needs. So now that we have all of this character education program, we're trying to incorporate as many of those tools within our program as possible to meet the needs of as many students as we can. All right. So at Clayton Huey this year, we have started a character education program. It's called Huey's Heroes. Who here hasn't wanted to be a superhero, right? I mean, I know I have, certainly. I've only imagined what my superpowers could be. But at Clayton Huey, we have a building-level committee, and we meet monthly. The committee is made up, is co-chaired by myself and Linda Greening, our assistant principal. It's also, there are various staff members on the committee. So we all meet to discuss important things, such as setting up some of the lesson plans for the following month, how are we going to highlight some of these students who are displaying these traits, what is the program going to look like. So the committee meets monthly to really discuss some of these things, bounce ideas off of each other, things like that. So what does the program actually involve? There are a lot of different components to it, so I'm just going to touch on some of the bigger ones for you. So every month we do have, and let me just back up for 1 second. So we decided to create our own program. We thought that it could be better for the students. We would be able to really reach their needs, could be more engaging, they could be more involved. We've tried to have them involved in creating a logo, things like that. So we thought that even though it's a lot of work creating a program from the ground up, Linda and myself oversee the implementation and development of the program. So it is a lot of work creating a program from the ground up, but I think it's much more rewarding to the students to really be involved in this from the beginning. So that being said, part of what we have every month is we have a new character trait. And these traits were chosen because not only are they some of the important values, they align with the IB learner profile that they're working on at the middle school. So we have Be Heroic, right? Huey's Heroes. We have Helpful, Ethical, Responsible, Open-Minded, Initiative, and Caring. So every month we have a book of the month that goes along with that character trait. It was chosen by the committee in the beginning of the year. There's also a lesson plan that goes along with it. You actually have a copy in the back of your packet. So it's the first thing in your packet. You'll see this is a sample lesson plan. So we have members of the committee who help write the lesson plans every month. The lesson plans, we have a primary and an intermediate if there's two different books. Some months there's one book. And along with the lesson plans, there's discussion questions, there's follow-up questions, there's different activities, there's a lot of different pieces to the lesson plans. It gives the teachers a lot of flexibility as to kind of how they want to address it, what they want to do. They can pick and choose which activities they want to do, how little or how much. We also have a home part of it, because getting parents and families involved is so important. So every month we also send home a letter to the parents, which you have in there as well, explaining the book we're reading that month, what that character trait is, some ways that they can really work on that character trait at home. Part of that is an activity that goes along with it that the families can complete if they would like, and they can return it then, and it will be displayed in the school. So up on the screen you have some of the visuals for some of the things we've been doing. We have some of the work the students have created in their classrooms at home. We also have a bus competition. So we teach them these expectations on the bus, the lunchroom, things like that. So there's a lot of different components to it. So we do have an assembly. We try to have some assemblies. And actually what I'm going to show you right now was a video created for one of our assemblies by three of our teachers. We have Kelly Warrensoff, Lisa DeVries, and Stacey Lopez, who worked to do this video for us, and it was a huge hit at the assembly. The kids loved it. You'll see that there were students involved in it, so this was a big hit. I'm going to play this for you guys.
Yeah, you guys may want to.
Oh, yeah, you might want to.
Hey, you may want to come around to the back. Sorry, Raina. I think you would have been okay.
I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to make you down. I apologize.
Go out live in the field with our student reporter, Robert, who will be here.
Hello, this is Anthony Lagercio. How have you been helping this month?
When my friend spilled his water, I helped clean it up.
See, that's great. Thank you, Anthony.
E. Our next word begins with E. Do you know what it is?
Energy.
Ethical. And we've already started talking about it in some of our classrooms, I think. So some of us out there might already know what it means. Ethical, do you know what it means?
I don't know, that's a big word.
Hi, what's your name?
Jocelyn.
What do you think it means to be ethical?
I think it means to be a good hero and help people out.
Great! What's your name?
Ryan.
If you were on the bus and you found your favorite cookies that somebody left, what would you do with them?
Return that to someone?
Good answer!
So that is just a quick little short version of the full video that we showed at the assembly. Okay.
So at the middle school, we also have a building level character education committee. Our committee includes myself, building administration, Ms. Bates, our guidance counselor, Mr. Pepe, and teachers from different academic backgrounds and special area teachers. Our conversation has been, how can we enhance that Ivy Learner profile? How can we continue to teach our students about these words, define them clearly to them, and help them learn, you know, these words and carry them out daily? So we looked at the Lions Quest curriculum, and we found that you could see the visual exponent points that it basically closely aligns with the Ivy Learner profile. It helps us define those words to our students, and through their guided lessons plans, we can deliver that curriculum to our students, and we've been talking about how are we going to do that. One of our conversations has been considering the rec component to lunch. So in the middle school, our students go to lunch for 42 minutes, and half of that time is a recreational component. During the winter months, that's a really tough 20 minutes at times. So we were thinking that next year we can use that time constructively and work with our students to deliver the Lions Quest curriculum. Just a little bit more about the Lions Quest curriculum. Basically, it's a research-based social-emotional program that focuses on helping students to develop like skills to handle their emotions constructively, how to make responsible decisions, carrying out those positive decision-making skills in their future so they have bright outcomes for themselves. In addition to that work that we've done this year and that we're going to continue to do next year, we had Challenge Day return for the fourth year in a row this year. Challenge Day is a large group opportunity for our students to learn more about tolerance, empathy, and acceptance. We are also bringing Beautiful Me to our school. Beautiful Me is a program that focuses on working with female students, and it the focus there is on enhancing their social-emotional wellness, their own self-esteem, a healthy outlook on themselves. The reason why that's targeted to female students is because it's founded and funded by the Hands Family Foundation, a family that had a tragedy with their own three children, and they were all female. And so they are focused on working with the female population. There's a parent component to that as well. It's called Raising a Beautiful Child, and we're working on bringing that to the community. And that all parents of all, with all developmental ages, can come and participate, and it's a workshop. We coordinate efforts with the Suffolk County Police Department. They come in and push into our classrooms regularly. We've had presentations in regards to internet and social media safety, substance abuse awareness, and then you saw all the work that Ms. Bates and Mr. Caswell did with the evening presentations combined with the substance abuse awareness. So once our students get into middle school and high school, we are our mental health staff, myself and the psychologist, we work to also provide education to our staff on certain areas. So, for example, this year we spoke at Superintendent's Conference Day in regards to crisis management. How do you identify a student in crisis in your classroom, in the hallways? How can you respond to them? How can you access us to get them help? Things like that. We, you know, have daily conversations with teams of teachers or even individually with teachers about student engagement, how to engage that student that's difficult in your classroom or doesn't seem engaged or that family that's not involved. I help teachers with that day in and day out. All right. So now we're up to the high school. All right. So just like in the elementary school and in the middle school, I have monthly meetings with my pupil personnel team. Again, that's guidance counselors, myself, psychologists, building administration. At times, teachers attend in the high school. And we knew we wanted to work with our students and develop their leadership and their character skills and continue that work in the high school. So last year, I was introduced to Mr. Lopez, and he was so patient and persistent with me. He kept coming to me and asking me if we could talk about this program, and I kept saying, soon, soon, soon. And then I started seeing him everywhere I went. I saw him at the grocery store. I saw him at my church. My babysitter knew him. My father-in-law knew him. I was like, I said, finally, I was like, I gotta give this guy a chance. Like, I keep putting him off, so. So we met, and as I'm listening to what he was describing to me, I was like, this is exactly what I've been wanting to do with kids. Like, I loved it. So he introduced me to what's called the SMILES program. Mr. Lopez was a student many years ago at Archbishop Molloy High School. It's actually a private high school out in Queens. And they started there, the SMILES program. And SMILES means something more in life's experiences. It gave high school kids an opportunity to talk about things that aren't academic throughout their day, the other stuff that you struggle with. And they had the opportunity to learn from each other. And this was all driven with peer group leaders. So with Mr. Lopez's guidance and help, we went back to my PPS team and I said to them, I want to do this. I want you guys to help me out. And they all wanted to help out too. So with that, we set out. We looked for students in our building that were interested in being trained to be peer group leaders. Basically, the concept was like expanding our outreach services to our students through our students. Our students are often like our first line of defense. At that developmental level in middle school and high school, you know, peers are looking out for each other. That's often like when we have to step in and intervene if there's a crisis. I get my information a lot of times from my students. So this is only building those leadership skills in those kids. What we did with them was we had a half-day training where students from Archbishop Molloy High School came out with the social worker there, Mr. Dougherty, and we did mini mock sessions on what peer group leadership groups would look like in the school. And we talked about confidentiality. What does a student handle? What does a student bring to us to handle? We talked about building their own self-esteem and awareness. What are they comfortable talking about and sharing? What do they know they don't want to talk about and share? And we just continue. We continue to work with our peer group leaders weekly, but now we're pushing into the health classes, and we're working with 10th graders, and we're talking about feelings, and we've had all different kinds of presentations. We have one of our students, one of our peer group leaders, has her own organized system and her own list on how to manage high school like a pro. So we took her list that she generated, and we did that actually as a lesson, like with our kids in groups. And we had a lot of conversations with them about how to improve your outcomes at school so school's a positive place for you. And we just basically, it's peer modeling. And like when I was young, there was athletes helping athletes. In other high schools, there was natural helpers. It's kind of like a model program to that. So not only are we in the health classes, but one of my peer group leaders that's here to speak with us tonight was passionate about working with our ENL population, our English language learners. So now we're in there. So some days, there's as many as 100 students that are exposed to counseling in our high school building because of the work that we're doing in the health classes and in the ENL classes. So I have two students here with me tonight. I wanted them to just share some of their reflections and their experiences with you. Girls? So this is Emily Navish. She's a junior. And Devin Almont is a senior. So, go ahead first.
All right, I'll start. Sorry for my attire. I came from a track meet. I was introduced to the SMILES program through Leaders Club. They mentioned it was a new group, and I was interested in it, so I figured I'd learn more about it. I went through the training at Molloy, and the one thing I was scared of is that I didn't know if I had to open up about things I didn't want to, because I'm kind of be a closed person sometimes. But what was really helpful is the conversations happen organically, so you don't have to share anything. You just share what you want to share, which is really good for me. And so we push into the classrooms, and I learn more about kids. I learn more about myself. I can be a leader. It helps me tackle my own confidence and self-esteem issues, and it also has prepared me for college with leadership, working with my peers, and I'm going to be a psychology major, so it's really helped me there.
4 years ago, I was a new student, and I didn't speak English at all. So 4 years later, after joining the SMILES program, I asked if I could work with the ENL kids, because I felt like we didn't have a specific program for them to support them. So the main goal is basically for us to make them feel like they have someone they can talk to about whatever is happening in school, at home, if they have any problems in class, with teachers, with the other students, and to teach them the daily norms of the school. All I can say that is that it has been amazing and that they enjoy working with us, the kids, so it's been really good.
That's great.
So I want to say that in meeting with the peer group leaders, you know, we often think that counseling is like an intervention, like something that you need when something bad happens. And I just have seen so much growth in the students that I've been working with, and Mr. Lopez has been guiding us along, and I just think that, like, you know, it's a testament to that, like, you never, like, life can be perfect, and you could be a leader, and you could be doing good, but a little guidance along the way never helps. And I just, working with these students, it's molded my life, changed my perspective on things, and just made my year, like, very profound. So just like at the middle school, in the high school, I work with staff as well. Any presentations that I do in the middle school, I coordinate with Mr. Caswell as well. If Melissa gets it, he wants it. If he gets it, Melissa wants it. So basically, the same, like I said, the same presentations the staff has had. Just another like area of focus, not to end on a somber note, although I'm continuing about outreach. We wanted to focus a little bit on suicide awareness this year. Three high schools in Suffolk County were affected by suicide this year. So that was a special area that we focused on. Mr. Stewart had sent me and Mrs. Hessian to a conference. We did some training then when we returned to that, from that conference, to both staff. And then I just recently attended another conference through Stony Brook on psychological first aid. So I'll bring that back to the staff too. Me and Mrs. Trujillo, the middle school, high school psychologist, attended that. So we'll bring that back to them as well.
Hard to follow those students, I guess. No pressure, right? So this slide is basically just a little bit of an overview showing some of the things that we've already spoken about, some of the values we are trying to instill, trying to build peer relationships, trying to build self-esteem, improve their critical thinking, working through difficult situations, negative emotions, parent involvement. So it looks different at different levels because the students are at different developmental levels, right? But we're working on those same skills. So they're exposed to a lot of these skills in elementary school, and as they go through their schooling, we build upon it, but it might be different ways. So, for example, within Clayton Huey, part of our program is a fifth grade helpers. So students will come down during their lunch and recess, they'll go to the kindergarten classes, and they'll spend their recess with those students, helping them. Sometimes the more difficult students were having trouble interacting with their peers, things like that, so they're working with them. At the middle school and high school, they have the Smiles program, they have friends and buddies, so it's the same type of skill we're working on, but it looks a little bit different. Same thing with self-esteem. Some of our lessons will touch upon that at Clayton Huey, whereas the middle school and high school, they have Beautiful Me and Lions Quest will address some of that. So all of the buildings have a little bit of a different way that we address it, but we're all working on the same traits. It's, you know, they're building on it as they go through their schooling.
So we're going to switch gears now a little bit to community outreach. So community outreach is an effort to build and enhance our collaboration with the students and parents that access our school buildings every day. How do we figure out who needs outreach care, who we need to attend to? Sometimes a parent or a student will reach out to us or themselves individually. They'll give us a call. Other times it's through a building referral. So perhaps a teacher comes to us to talk about a student, or maybe the student's not attending school or seems disheveled while attending school, not engaged in homework. There's some kind of lack of engagement. So that's the two ways that we kind of identify who we're going to provide outreach services to.
So, as Mrs. Fabian said, outreach looks a little bit different. One reason why outreach is so important is because these families and these students often don't feel connected to school. They don't have a positive outlook on school. They don't feel connected. This impacts their social relationships, their social-emotional functioning. Oftentimes, it impacts their academic performance. So, outreach is really important for a lot of reasons. One of the ways that we can provide this outreach is through internal initiatives, and those are initiatives kind of within the school. They could be student and staff driven, things like food drives, toy drives, team meetings, friendship groups, trainings for staff, things like that. One big thing that I did want to highlight this year that we were able to do at Clayton Huey. So every year the district is involved in helping families provide gifts for the holidays. We have help from the Mauritius Community Center as well as Helping Makes You Happy. This year at Clayton Huey, I started something new. We had what was called the Giving Tree, and we were able to assist more families this way. So I had families give me their wish list for these students. I put all of the information onto the tree anonymously. And then the generous staff at Clayton Huey would take certain, they were on apples because it coordinated with the Giving Tree book that we read for our Huey's Heroes program. And the staff would take the apples as they saw fit, and they would wrap the gifts, they would package them, and return them to my office. And my office was, it was quite a sight. It was really, truly amazing to see just how generous our staff was when we saw the piles and piles of gifts in my office. I ran out of space in my office. I had to use offices next to me. That's how many things that we got. Our staff was beyond generous. And people might be sitting there thinking, okay, gifts, well, okay, why is that important? So gift giving is a big part of our society. We want these families who might not otherwise be able to engage in that, you know, tradition to be able to do so. We want these students to come back from the holiday break and talk to their friends and say, hey, what did you get? I got this. Did you get this? We want them to be able to have those peer relationships. We don't want them to feel frustrated, isolated, angry that they weren't able to get the toy they requested or they weren't able to participate in those conversations with their peers. We all know how, you know, how children are, especially young children, and we don't want them to feel isolated. So this was just a way to help them be able to become part of the school community. And by doing this and partnering with those other agencies, we were able to help approximately 40 families this year during the holiday season.
So in the middle school and in the high school, a lot of our initiatives are often done through some of the existing clubs. Interact has helped us out. Friends and Buddies runs the food drive every year. Student Council is involved in the food drive in the middle school. All that food goes to the Mauritius Community Center. There's efforts in both buildings, sorting the food, putting it together in boxes. And they actually see the volunteers come in. They work with me. I coordinate with Kathleen Johnson. And there they are out shipping into the community and delivering to families in need. So it's a really great experience for students. It's very hands-on. And again, it just teaches them to help in their own community. And it reinforces some of the ideas and some of the traits that we're looking to enhance through character education.
And last but not least, so we've shared with you a little bit tonight about some things that we're doing this year, but we have a lot of really great ideas for going forward, how to build upon our community outreach and character education. We have a lot of ideas. One of them is parent workshop series. So after conferring with Mr. Soto, some of the other clinicians, building staff, administration, we've come up with a, you know, hypothetical list of some topics that we think could be important to families, such as ensuring success through communication, using education to carve a pathway to success, and anything else that we feel could be important to families. We want them to feel involved, you know, part of our community. So as we get things that we say, hey, you know what, this would be great. So we're still working out some of those logistics. We think after school might be better to have a better turnout, but we're still working on some of that. I'm going to let Mr. Soto really work out all those specific details. But these are just some of the things that we're really working towards. Part of what we're doing in all of our buildings is also we're working with our beautification committees. So in Clayton Huey, we actually have a picture of the wall wrap that just went up. So it is a gorgeous, it takes up the whole wall, and it has all these great words on them. These are all really great, powerful character traits and values. The students love it. They walk, when they walk past it for the first time, they were all like in amazement. So was the staff, to be honest, myself included. So I know that our beautification committee is also working on a great mural. So it's going to be going up sometime, I think, in May. And it's going to be another just part of the character education program, working with the beautification committee. So the students are not only hearing these things in the classroom, but they're also seeing it in the hallway. We're transforming the school really just to, you know, fully represent everything that we're working on.
So I just want to make one more comment about Lion's Quest in relationship to parent workshops. One of the reasons why we liked and preferred that program, too, was because it focuses on building strong relationships with your community and parents, and there's a whole parent component as well. So it will help us guide those parent workshops, the information from Lions Quest.
And what we actually included just a sample of some of the training in the packet so that you guys can take a look at.
It talks about what you just said. All right. So in the middle school and high school, we're also working with the beautification committees. In the middle school, we'd like to make our mission state visible so the students see it every day. They see the IB learner profile traits every day. In the high school, my peer group leaders are desperate to decorate a space that feels homey and comfortable and reflects the work that we're doing as a group. So we're talking about, we're begging Mr. Caswell to maybe be able to hang up some pictures and stuff in there. He likes his white walls, but we'll see. We're working on the involvement, still continuing involvement with third-party agencies. Who can we get in to present, talk with faculty, with students? A couple of years ago, I've had Legale in to talk. They focus on working with gay and lesbian youth. I just recently developed a relationship with a residential treatment center out in the Hamptons that focuses on treating students with eating disorders. That has been something that my staff has been wanting to learn more about, how to handle a student with these kinds of needs in our building. And then finally, again, with my connections at Artificial Molloy High School through Mr. Lopez, I was introduced to a grant developer. So I'm exploring the opportunity of writing some grants and putting the word out to some foundations to see what we could get to support our peer leadership opportunities. Also, in regards to Lions Quest, that curriculum was created and founded by the Lions Club. So there's also grant opportunities there. And I'd like to explore that a little bit. I went to a training last year and met a gentleman from the Lions Club out west. He gave me some of the contact information for the Lions Club out in Riverhead. So I'm going to explore working with them and seeing what they can do for us as well.
Thank you.
Say this is a phenomenal presentation. It's one of the best presentations I've seen. I'm excited by what you're doing. Great. The kind of the notes that I've got you got through, you know, the future stuff, the gaps, you know, the presentation and the reasons that both of you got involved. I thought to be able to stand up here and explain that, the reasons that you got involved to help kind of people that were from the same place, you know, from a language perspective that you were, unbelievable. You know, the peer involvement, peer leadership,
yeah,
and kind of a rising tide,
yeah,
helps everybody on both sides.
Yeah.
Really exciting to me across the board. So,
great.
You know, thank you very much for
thank
coming to
God.
Present.
You know, and now that we have Jen, we could do a lot more, and it's, you know, we have that because of the support of you guys. So thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Great job.
And I just wanted to mention to the board that we actually developed this presentation using Google Slides,
yes,
which is our technology initiative. So
everything worked.
Everything was beautiful. We saved it. We interactively worked on it together. It was a great thing.
So kept calling us, telling us to stop touching it. Yeah.
Again, stop touching the slides. Stop touching it. Leave it alone.
Yeah, I can't say it's just a little bit. You know, board, one thing I just want to say, you know, you talked about growth over the 1.5%. And sometimes you can't see it. You saw it with the science research, and now with the extra clinician. Although character education is only a piece of the additional stuff that we have now here at, you know, the school district, you can actually see it now. You know, what happened? We listened to the teachers from the survey. We changed a few things, and look what we have now. The science research last week, we're now looking at this. And I'm going to embarrass Courtney because I'm going to tell you this, Fabian, is you are incredible on multiple levels because there are unsung heroes, you know, like behind the scenes that you don't hear about who help us all, including staff. Because I think we think a lot about just the students, that the staff doesn't need help and has to go and say, you know, listen, we're talking now about a possibility for the future board, which I'll be talking to you about, EAP. Yeah, we're going to be talking about this employee assistance program that Courtney and I have been discussing. So a lot of good things, and just to have, and she's a building rep, and you're everything, and I appreciate that. You need to hear that because you don't see her very often. You don't, because she's in the room working with people all the time. So,
thank you, young people, a newbie. Thank you. Thank you for having us. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You thought that presentation was impressive. Wait.
This is
exciting. And I have the bean counter. And then Mr. Stewart gets a raise, and we are done. Good. Say aye. Vote in motion. Yes. 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 Got that? Okay. Mr. Stewart gets a raise. This is wonderful. I love these meetings.
Why don't I start talking to the teacher that nobody can hear? They didn't like to have to go up and down with them.
Okay, so the last time, everybody has, yes, the presentations are all there for anybody that wants them. That's our new thing. I hope you, and the last presentation is over there as well. So if you want a copy, they're over there. Last time we met, the New York State did not pass a budget at that point in time. But the good news is they did pass a budget. They'll be a little late. Not that late.
A week late.
Okay. But they got it done. So we're excited about that. And as you'll see, I'm going to tell you what happened with that in the first slide. Anyway, so as you can see, when we were here on April 5th, it looks like we had a change of approximately $339,000, a little bit over that. And, that was with Carol's expectation of an additional, like, I think it was $56,000. We weren't sure at that point in time. If you read a lot of news articles, it was really going back and forth, and we really were not sure where it was going to land. Well, the good news is, after the state passed the budget, we went through the numbers again, and we received an additional $50,000, $50,765. So that was good news to us as a school district. Although, I'm not going to sit here and be less than honest about that, we do believe we should have more aid from the state, especially in the area of foundation aid. We are still thankful to our politicians, especially the legislators and the assembly, because I know they went there. I know some of our local ones fought for us, and so we are here in Center Bridges very thankful for the additional money. So when we get to this point, we have to decide or make a recommendation to the board of what we should do with that additional money. And we had numerous conversations with an administration, and at the end of the day, it continued to revert back to Carol's last presentation, because Carol talked a lot about employee benefits. And Mr. Foster asked some of the $64,000 questions, and I think, you know, we all left that meeting confident that we were going to be okay, but that we thought that we possibly could have a problem like we did this year, more specifically with our health insurance. So last time Carol stood here, she spoke about the amount of health insurance that we pay percentage-wise, and she recommended 8%, or at least in the budget, we had 8% designated for health insurance. The question, I think it was that day that NYSHIP came out with their forecast. Yes. At the same time, NYSHIP comes out with their forecast. Mr. Foster asked the question of Ms. Perkins. Well, I heard, maybe you heard it, or I didn't know if you knew it or you didn't know it. I wasn't sure.
I just make it up as I go.
That's what I'm thinking. But he did ask the question, and Carol, honest person that she is, said, look, they're forecasting between 8 and 10%. And then the question is, well, then why would you go with 8%? And Carol mentioned to the group that, you know, when you're preparing a budget, when you start looking at numbers, you have to decide if you're going to cut programs. And she was uncomfortable, and I agreed, of course, uncomfortable with cutting a program, because when you go up, you know, a percent, it might be $30,000, and something has to be cut out of the budget. So she, I believe, you correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Perkins, but because of the history, and I was pretty confident with looking at the history,
right,
that it is that.
It wasn't information about.
Yeah, so that, you know, but also I believe that we, in this particular area, we were not as conservative as we normally are, because we're normally very conservative with our budget. So, like I said, in the conversation about the $50,000, we kept reverting back to health insurance, and at the end of the day, we felt it was the right thing to do to make the recommendation to the board tonight to go from 8% health insurance to 9.5%. We're more comfortable with that number, and it's actually 9.53.
So you said everybody's between 8 and 10%.
Correct.
On the island.
Yes. Well, not everybody gets their own decision. Most districts that we spoke to are in that range.
And they budgeted like 10%.
Say it again.
They budgeted, a lot of the districts budgeted 10%. So.
You know, so 9.5 is, like you would say, is that the average of the budget increase on the island?
Yes.
Okay. So, but that would exclude people that are self-insured, like William Floyd?
That's just NYSHA.
Yeah. Where are they going? Do you have any sense?
We have a presentation that's going to come to the Board of Education on May 31st by J.J. Stannis, who's going to come. They're experts in the area of health insurance, and they're going to come and speak to the board, because I think you had asked that before, and one of your points, Josh, was to say, listen, let's get this early. So we immediately went and set up a presentation for you.
Are they going to have like a deck or something? I know it's a different topic, but a presentation deck, if they can send that a day or so in advance, just so I can look at it and think about it before I get here?
Absolutely.
So I'm not shooting from the hip?
Yep, you got it. Very good issue. Okay, so basically the next two slides is, I thought it was important for the community, because you saw the slides last time, to show you what the change is on the expenditure side. Of course, my first question was to Mr. Soto and to Ms. Perkins, does this change anything with the Board of Education goals? Are we still able to attain every single goal that the board put forth in July and August? The answer is yes. But basically, on the expense side of the budget, as you can see, when we last left here, it was the change was a 2.05%. That's a budget to budget. And then with the additional expense, basically on that side, it will increase to a 2.17%, an increase of 0.12. That's on the expense side. And obviously, we've got to have the equal sign, right? The balance of budget. On the revenue side, you have to basically do the same thing. So as of April 5th, we were at 2.05. It increased to 2.17, and the increase was a 0.12. I will let the board know it did, and the community, it does not affect the tax levy. The tax levy is still 2.31. You can write that down. 2.31%. It is the cap. We're not going over the cap this year. And to the right, I just wanted to show once again where that 2.31 is going. 1.5% of it is going to support general operating expenses. 0.14 is to support additional programmatic offerings that Ms. Ingolia presented last time we were here. And actually, you saw two presentations in the last month on past programmatic offerings, additional. And 0.67, I know it's already been voted on. It's important to mention, especially with phase two now coming into play here, that 0.67 was already designated for voter-approved capital project debt service. Thank you. You're too much.
So, next section of the agenda tonight is questions and comments on tonight's agenda. Anybody have any questions or comments on tonight's agenda? Marcus, how are you?
Hi, Josh. You?
Good.
Hi, my name is Marcus Babzine. Quick question on number 7, the contracts. Could somebody just concisely review what those contracts cover, health and welfare services?
Sure.
Ms. Perkins. Health and welfare services, you might recall at the last presentation, we were talking about revenue, and there was a revenue line for health services, and I mentioned that we provide health services to the private and parochial schools within the Sun Ridge School District. We have students from other districts attending those schools, so then we bill out those services. And so those are the contracts between Sun Ridge's and the various school districts.
Okay. Yeah, it's just a long list. I didn't realize it was.
Yes, we have that manual.
Okay. Okay.
Anybody else? Anyone? Okay. Motion to adopt the minutes of the regular meeting on April 5th, 2017. Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following employees return to service.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following contracts in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contracts, as well as the established costs contained in said contracts, and authorize the president to sign said contracts.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves amending the minutes of the March 22nd, 2017 Board of Education meeting to read as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor? Yes. Motion carries. So that still leaves, I just want to make sure I'm clear. There's still the, Carol, the, or Raina, the three portions that are open for fall. Is that right? Can we just talk for a second about what they are and do, like the bathrooms, what we decided at the last meeting to leave out? I just want to make sure we're all crystal clear.
Sure. So it is the bathrooms at the elementary school, the improvement, replacement of the air conditioning unit at secondary campus, the auditorium. It would be the renovation of the special education, would be the special education room in the back of Clayton Huey. That would be a complete renovation of several different pieces, hallway, existing office, and so on. And then the renovation of the upstairs fifth grade wing tech/classroom area.
The concept was when we ran through this and we talked a bit about it last year.
And then the Main Street gym.
HVAC.
Yeah.
The concept, when we talked a bit about this the last meeting, was that as we went out for bid, the bids, as a result of supply and demand, effectively came back very high, and we rejected all the bids for phase two in the first instance, and we kind of value engineered the scope, and they came back lower but still high. And, you know, from our perspective, we want to ensure that the services and the work that the community approved is the work that got done. So we spoke at the last meeting. We had the architect here and decided that we would hold off on a portion of the work because we thought that it would be cheaper to get done when the demand wasn't as high. So the portion of that work can all be done, we expect, during the school year, correct? That's the thought. I think that the vast majority, if not all of that work, can be done over the next 12 months.
Correct.
Okay. So, in the next contract, just so that we're clear, this is a replacement construction manager for phase two and phase three, correct? Well, let's call it phase two.
Yes, phase two.
Phase two as it will continue for all of the work.
Okay. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following responsible bid vendor, A. Michaels Group, LLC, to provide the construction management services for phase two of the capital project.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the budget transfers.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following.
So what's this check for?
There was a
what
was it? A crack in the boiler?
Yeah, we had a breach in one of the boilers at Clayton Huey, but because we have this insurance, it is covered under the insurance, so we get reimbursed for that.
So this was last, when did we do the work and pay for it?
No, this was a month or two ago.
Okay.
This is when we were discussing.
Right. Okay. Motion. Did you read it? Yeah, you already read it. Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
The Board of Education has appointed an independent claims auditor to review bills and authorize the processing of payment during the period between Board of Education meetings. Recommended action. Upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education accepts the report by the independent claims auditor for the month of March 2017 and authorizes payment of the monthly bills listed in warrants for the months of March 2017 as audited by the independent claims auditor as follows.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
As Superintendent of Schools, Rusty Stewart, and business official Carol Perkins reviewed the financial and instructional components of the 2017-2018 budget. Recommended action, that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education adopts the 2017-2018 proposed school district budget in the amount of $42,127,133.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yeah. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action. Be it hereby resolved that the Board of Education of the San Marcos Union Free School District approves the real property tax report card prepared by the district's business office for the 2017 annual district meeting.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Can you check all this math in your class?
The Superintendent of Schools will review with the Board of Education the names of the five candidates running for the five open BOCES Board of Education seats. There are five vacancies for a term commencing on July 1, 2017, and ending June 30, 2020. School Board President Joshua P. Forster will conduct a vote for the annual election of candidates to serve on the Eastern Suffolk BOCES Board of Education. Recommended action. That upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education authorizes the district clerk to record the outcome of the election and notify Eastern Suffolk BOCES of the results of the vote for the five open BOCES Board of Education seats. A roll call was taken.
So do we vote on them as a slate, or do we...
Individually.
Individually by majority?
Not majority. You're going to just vote whether or not...
How many yes, how many no.
Yes for Walter Densler?
Yes.
Yes for Susan Lippman?
Yes.
Was there no's for Densler? No. Yes for Ann McKaysey?
Yes.
Any no's for Ann McKaysey? Yes for William Miller?
Yes.
Yes for Catherine Romano?
Yes.
Motion to adopt the vote that we just took for the five candidates for the BOCES. Board of Education, motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education authorizes the district clerk to record the outcome of the vote and notify Eastern Suffolk BOCES of the results of the vote for the adoption of the BOCES Administrative Budget 2017-2018.
We didn't vote on the BOCES budget. We voted on the candidate. Shouldn't there be another line item for the budget? This just says recommendation, record the outcome of the vote on the budget. So don't we have to vote on the BOCES budget?
Carol?
Sounds like
we
should.
You are
voting. You are voting on the budget.
Where's the budget? Yeah, the documents in the background. So, in this cover letter, it says the board should pass a resolution either approving or disapproving the budget.
the BOCES administrative budget. Budget can be found on pages 15 to 25 in the budget book that was previously sent to the board. So while we do the rest, if somebody wants to see if we can get the budget book, we can look at it. It's on our website.
Are you guys... got that already?
We had it, yeah.
Do we have it?
Oh, we had it, yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't.
It's not in this packet. It was in the last packet. Yeah. It wasn't in this packet. But I don't have it with me either.
Did everybody else look at it and review it and are in agreement? It's on a website. We may have, if we got it.
Just go to both.
I mean, I had the site here. I just don't know if everybody's looked at it. Is this something that has to be done today, or can we put it over for the next meeting? I don't know what.
No,
we can't put
it
over. All right. So can somebody see if they can get it? Maybe Carol, think while we just do the rest of it.
I'll go
to the website. Yeah. All right, so recommended action upon recommendation. We're going to skip 16. We're going to have to come up with another agenda item. Recommended action upon recommendation of the superintendent of schools. The Board of Education accepts upon donation $3,520 from the Red Devils Pride Club to install a new softball fence on the girls' varsity softball field. And Rico's Clothing is donating $747.75 for a tarp that covers the boys' varsity baseball field home plate and adjusts the budget accordingly. So first, thank you very much to Red Devils Club and to Rico's unbelievable support for our sports programs, always, and very much appreciated. Motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes, motion carries unanimously. We'll keep going with 18.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the disposition of records.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor? Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Center Riches Board of Education approves the recommendations of the committees on special education and committee on preschool education for the month of March for the 2016-2017 school year.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education conducts a second reading of the following policy.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion?
Annette and I are coming Tuesday
okay.
to the discipline seminar,
which I think I'm hoping we come back with some good
yeah.
input and some good.
Are there concerns here? Like, so we'll go through this tonight, and then we still have the third reading. And if you have something you want to change, we can change it. But are there some concerns?
Right
here?
Now, I have no concerns.
Okay.
I hope to see
if there's anything different
language
that maybe we should
or
add,
anything.
Or
right.
you know, something. Different.
You guys should bring with you, obviously, all of the. The codes yep. that we've got, all the policies that we've got, and then
yeah.
look forward to
yeah, we'll
so
take this policy actually with us that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe report out next in public next meeting what
Definitely.
We see and if we need to change this.
Sure.
If we want to talk about changing.
Yeah.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
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 Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the change of the following Board of Education meeting dates. For the 2016-2017 academic year.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Any questions or comments? So we'll come back to the BOCES thing, but any questions or comments from the community on items not on the agenda?
This is on the agenda.
What's your name?
Peace Mound.
The agenda part is at the beginning, though, so you can ask that at the next meeting.
So the construction that you're going to do during the school year in the elementary school, I'm just concerned on how that's going to happen.
going to affect teaching? And so the idea, of course, during the school year, we have to be extra cautious that it will not affect instructional space at all, or any instruction. So the most, I would say, interference that you'll have is that, you know, if we're doing, say, the bathrooms, we're not going to do all the bathrooms at once. They're going to have to, you know, work differently, you know, when the building is closed. So, you know, if they're doing the bathrooms, for example, that will not, you know, they're going to close one set of bathrooms at a time. You know, so, I mean, the truth is, like, because it, you know, because we're a school, it can't impact, you know,
right. So all the work will be done, obviously, after school.
Exactly. You're not going to hear, you know, the demo of a bathroom.
Nobody's going to be walking through our buildings.
Exactly. So there's the instructional piece and then the safety, you know,
and that one room upstairs that Emily Stork is in right now, I guess that's the room that they're making larger.
Yeah, that's like her current classroom,
so
because it's adjacent
Bill's
to that.
Bill's office is getting gone. He won't be there.
He's going to be relocated.
Right. And actually right around the corner.
So that will be, so that will that classroom be not able to be occupied then for that school year? Because don't we need that space?
So the plan would be really to take care of that, like, toward, you know, at, you know, in terms of like next summer. You know, because if we need that instructional space, we can't do it then.
Right.
You know, so
the items
that can be done, you know, within the school year, after hours, over vacations.
Right. But I thought that you were putting it off till the school year to save money, right? But then if you're saying you're going to do it during the summer, then you're not really saving money. So then why not just do it this summer? I know, but then it's high price construct, right? Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
So supply and demand. Right now, this summer, there's so much work.
And you think
it's
it
not just
different
the summer as the
summer.
It just is the timing overall.
Right.
So the following summer might be.
So what we did was we looked and we did our best to kind of prioritize those things that can be done at night. Can you close
right.
down the bathrooms in that
right.
way? Well, not
yeah.
optimal, but
right.
you know.
Right.
And then we looked at, you know, so we're doing the science rooms at the high school. You can't really break that up. Now, you know, those have to get done. They're getting
right.
done. We said there's a few things that you could break up. Mm-hmm. The, you know, the three or four items that we just outlined. The hope is that we can get through all of these things, get them done for the money that we've raised.
Right.
Save money during the school year, because the vast majority of projects that these contractors do are done over the summer.
Right.
For the exact reasons you state. So now a contractor has, I mean, Darryl can talk this better than I can, but less work. They will be more willing to.
Right,
it's
I understand,
simply
but if you're putting, the, I'm just saying, listen, I, you know, I totally get
the
it.
The idea
but I'm
is that
if you're putting
when
it
those
over
pieces
the
are rebid, that the bid will be more reasonable.
It'll also be done potentially as a package.
I'm sorry, what you
as a package. So some of the areas
right.
that you may not be able to touch till later on.
But you could include it then and
correct.
Say, okay,
they would
so
overlap.
Long, the condition is that this can't be done until this date.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand that.
Right.
All right, thank you.
How long, on that specific room, do we have any sense on how long that would take? So is that something that the guy, that they could do over a two-week break? Like a Christmas break or something?
I think whatever. Have you ever had a kitchen redone?
No.
There's no such thing as anything redone
question.
Yeah.
Especially over a holiday.
And, you know, that space in particular would not be as long as, say, the space in the back of the kindergarten wing because
right.
of demo work and so on. Because it's more extensive there. So, you know, and I think, you know, doing any classroom reconstruction, if you're using that classroom.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair.
If that classroom is in use, think about it. You have to pack it up.
Yeah.
On, you know, if it's possible that we, you know, that I, you know, in my head I'm thinking that classroom will be in use next year. But if it was somehow vacant, then we have a variable
right.
that we can work with.
Right, right.
You know. And without, again, with the primary concern is not disturbing
right.
you know, any routines, instructional routines, classroom instruction during the day.
Okay.
So that's the number one priority and getting the work done.
All right, thanks.
So we have one other item, the BOCES. We can go into exec session and then come back out. We may have that information. Does anybody else have any questions on items on the agenda tonight? Wonderful. So the next meeting will be May 3rd, 7:30 in the high school auditorium. 7:30 in the high school auditorium. Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of discussing
matters which will imperil the public safety if disclosed, discussions regarding proposed pending or current litigation, and other matters of disclosure which would result in an unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion. Okay. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Recommended action that Board of Education approve the Eastern Suffolk BOCES administrative budget. Motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of discussing matters which imperil the public safety if disclosed, proposed pending or current litigation, and other matters disclosure which could result in unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Motion.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.